Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud is brought to you by Academy for Educators, online professional development for teachers and leaders. Online courses, modules, and micro-credential programs for teachers to enhance their skill sets. Now featuring the instructional coaching micro-credential, including 5 online modules framed around the work of Steve Barkley. Learn, grow, inspire. AcademyForEducators.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits. I'm joined on today's podcast by educators from Morgan County Schools in Georgia. And I had heard about a project that they are working on in their district connecting knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits, especially to preparing students for that critical set of life skills in addition to what we normally or traditionally call school skills. Years ago, I worked with this concept of knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits when designing professional development that was geared to bring about a change in teachers. And as we looked at our training designs, we recognized that we wanted teachers to walk away with new knowledge, an impact on attitude, a set of skills, and then a set of critical habits that in effect made the changes they were implementing easier because they came part of the teacher's habit. Now, when we looked at that list of knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits, it kind of jumped out at everyone that the two difficult ones to tackle there were attitude and habits. And so by design, we looked at creating our training so that we introduce teachers to a chunk of knowledge which could be translated into a skill or a habit. And then as teachers practice that new skill or habit, the success of that practice impacted the teacher's attitude. And that impact on attitude caused the teacher to continue the practice or to continue the behavior for a longer period of time for an expansion of activity, which that's what then led to a new habit. So as an example, if I'm a teacher and I've attended a training session, a professional development session on positively impacting student learning by building connections with parents, especially starting those connections when problems weren't present. And in that training, I was introduced to a strategy that suggested making 3 phone calls a week to parents just to inform them on something positive that had recently happened with their child at school. As I committed to make those calls over a 2-month period, making 3 of those calls each week, my initial calls to parents was drawing positive responses from them on the call. So that kind of influenced my attitude and kept me doing it. And then when parents came to parent-teacher conferences, I saw a difference in the way the parent and I communicated and worked together because of that earlier communication. And that influence of my attitude started me looking for other ways to build that parent communication piece, which now led to a new habit in my teaching practices. So that was the approach that I initially worked with in exploring knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. At the time, my friend and colleague, Jim Malinowski, was a principal at Morgan County Schools in Georgia. And Jim introduce the concept with folks there. So I'm going to ask Jim to jump on now and kind of talk about that introduction. And then Jim's going to introduce us to Jennifer Butler and Heather Fuller, who are at the district now and have done a major build using this concept of knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. So Jim, Heather, and Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Steve. Thanks for having us. As Steve was saying, my experience went back with performance learning systems back into the late 70s when I was exposed to CASH. And as a principal, I would stand up at orientation meetings and talk to parents about CASH and the fact that we didn't just attempt to introduce kids to skills and knowledge and skills, but to attitudes and habits. And I would give them some examples of some of the rules that we had and some of the behaviors that we kind of instill in their children. And it became a natural fit then when we started to apply for a college and career academy for us to consider using CASH as one of our foundational pieces. So we incorporated it into a grant that we wrote to the state. We ended up getting a $3.3 million grant to start the process of developing a college and career academy here at Morgan County. Jennifer Butler is currently the COO for Workforce Development at Morgan County. And she was instrumental in securing the grant in the early stages and has basically been the person who has facilitated the development of a new school, a $53 million school project. And she is an essential here at Morgan County. The other person is a lady by the name of Heather Fuller. And Heather is the career pathway coordinator. And she's responsible for preparing students for careers. And she looks at the underpinnings of what it is that they're introducing students to and tries to generalize skills that those students will need when they go out. Both of them sat down and institutionalized CASH. My wife and I still come to ball games and performances and stuff. And we started seeing signs pop up at the school that had CASH. And they would say, like, CASH in the parking lot, or CASH in the hallways, CASH in the classrooms. And I thought, holy smoke, these guys have really done a great job of institutionalizing these concepts. So I'm going to turn it over to them and let them tell you how they developed it and some of the workings that they've done to make this whole thing happen.
Thanks.
Jennifer.
Okay, to take a little history back with how we evolved bringing CASH into an everyday culture for Morgan County, when we were writing the grant, we always had an advisory time, which I believe many schools do with their students, for their teachers to get to know their students better. And we decided to change our advisory to a CASH time. So during that time, it was all about knowledge, attitude, skills, and habits. And we also wanted to make this not just something the high schoolers were doing. We wanted to make this K-12. So we wanted to make this a district push. So everybody understood CASH. If a first grader went home and started talking to their parents about what they were learning that week, their high schooler could come home also, and they still had the same concept being talked about that week in the classroom related to CASH. And so we took it into the process of CASH time during our advisory. And we had a lot of success in the first year. And then we also became a school working to include positive behavior, PBIS, Positive Behavior Intervention Service and System. And so we took that and thought, instead of just calling it positive behavior, if we could incorporate CASH into that, it would help build just the familiarity with students and people. And that way we could help build on the positives and by repetition, people learning how to just shake a hand, look a person in the eye and feeling comfortable doing that because it was school-wide and it related to our positive behavior which then in turn, students were being recognized for their good behavior, and it was related back to cash.
One of the biggest things that we did when we first started developing our cash culture, we interviewed our business owners and our industry leaders within our community. And we said, you know, what is it that you are missing from the people you are hiring? So in this new workforce that's coming out, what is it that you see that they are missing? And so what we continuously heard were these set of soft skills that students coming out of college or even high school, as they were beginning their careers, they were missing these specific set of soft skills, such as, like Jennifer said, communication, eye contact, just appropriate verbal language. And so when we were developing this K-12 curriculum to be implemented system-wide, we are very purposeful in the different terms and concepts that we were teaching our students. And so as different cash representatives from each school got together and they met and they started developing this cash curriculum that would be implemented at specific times throughout their day, we looked at, okay, how can we train a kindergartner on time management that will be specific to them at the same time as training a senior on what time management means for them. So what we did is we really, in essence, developed a system-wide culture that was built around these soft skills and of course our cash programming. It's something that not only are they educated on what these soft skills are, they are given time to practice it. So students will learn about a specific soft skill, and then the expectation is as they go throughout their days and their weeks and really the school year, that they're given different opportunities to practice and in reality just own that soft skill. So once a proper handshake is taught in the classroom, then what we love to see is as we're walking down the halls and visiting with teachers and their students, that we're greeting them with that handshake and giving them the opportunity to coach and just give them verbal praise on, hey man, that was a great handshake you gave me, great job, and just in reality making it a part of our everyday life here at Morgan County High School and also, you know, more our Morgan County charter school system as a whole.
I'm wondering if there is a embeddedness beginning to happen where the teachers are building at least the reinforcement of these skills into other instructional times rather than just time that's set aside for your cash time.
No, absolutely. So they're first introduced in the cash time, but what the expectation is that teachers will then go back and make that a part of their classroom culture as well. So for example, what you'll see is when students are giving presentations, they built in those cash skills within that rubric of their classroom presentations. So students, for example, if I walked into an audio video classroom and a student was giving a presentation, or even a math classroom and a student was given a presentation, one thing that the teachers are assessing them on is not only do they know the curriculum, not only do they know the standard that is attached with that specific class, but are they also using appropriate eye contact and professionalism and professional language as they're doing their project? And that rolls back into, you know, just every aspect of the classroom.
How long have you been working with Cash?
So Cash was first developed 4 years ago, but we've really now, this is our third year full implementation.
And a piece that, do you believe teachers are able to spot the difference of incoming students at a grade level due to the recognition that the students had 3 years of experience with this focus? So I guess I'm kind of wondering if do middle school students walk into middle school differently because of these 3 years, or freshmen walking into the high school differently because of the 3 years of experiences they've had prior to this time?
what we have seen where it was at the very beginning, it was out of character for someone just to come up and shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye, or even talk about your cash skills where it was new, it was unheard of, and professional dress was sort of like, why would I want to dress professionally? Or why do I, you know, when I look you in the eye, you know, why do I need to look you in the eye when I shake your hand? Where it was just new and unheard of throughout the halls of the school. Now, as students come up from the elementary to the middle and middle to the high, it's just, it's the culture that we're trying to change. So it's not unheard of. It's not unfamiliar to them. So if they get called out when they do shake a hand, it's like, no, you got to look me in the eye. They're like, oh yeah, they remember that now. So I think there has been a change in more of a, becomes a daily life for the younger kids are used to hearing it. And as they're coming up, it's not as new and they're more accepting to it. And I believe the repetition of it has just helped where they think of, oh yeah, a professional dress day is coming up this Friday. We need to make sure we look nice. And Heather's done a great job of creating culminating activities at the end of each quarter. And tomorrow we have a luncheon where we invite freshmen. They'll sit around a table with a group of adults and they practice how to carry on a conversation while sitting at a table, while eating and being professional. And so they get to put it into action and it's just not as new. So I think we have seen an increase in the students, a change that way.
I love that example you just gave that, you know, because generally what happens to the school population, there's a group of those there's a group of students who get to have those experiences either because of programs they're in or outside of school, or a direction that their parents may have taken with them. But there's another group of students who've just missed that opportunity. So what looks later on as they are, you know, they don't have the skill set. Well, they don't have the skill set because we never gave them the opportunity. So the fact that you're building things like that in is awesome.
Heather also created a clothes closet here. So we talk about professional dress and certain events where you need to dress professionally. Well, not every student has that option to have that closet filled with clothes that may look professional or just make them stand out. And so we have a place where they can come and look and see if they just need a tie or a coat or slacks or something. They have that available to them if it's not available for them at home.
That's neat. So, guys, anything other districts that would look at making this kind of an investment? Any thought you would give them based on your experiences, either, you know, getting started or getting the community to see the value of it? Thoughts on where's the best place for people to jump in from an exploration standpoint?
I would say talking to community businesses. In industry and the community, getting them on board, and then also just the PR side of it, letting people know, letting parents know what is going on and how it's taking place. And we came up with a word of the week or a skill that we would take on for a week or two, and that's what we tried to focus on. But we needed the parents to be aware of it also. We needed business aware of it. And that's all a process. It doesn't happen overnight by any means. And
absolutely. I would say just identify what, you know, the workforce in their area is lacking, or, you know, I try to identify what is, you know, the business needs of business and industry are, and then just tackling that and just seeing, you know, trying to develop what type of soft skill curriculum works best for them and how it works best for them. I mean, and like Jennifer said, this is not something that just, it was fantastic overnight. You know, we've really been, you know, working at it and changing and tweaking and over the last years. And so, you know, we're just really excited about our program. And I would definitely say what we feel we have done is we are giving tools to our students to be more competitive as we move into this global society. So we are allowing our students or helping our students to become more competitive. Next level, you know, developing the soft skill curriculum is definitely the way to go.
I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face because as I listen to you, you are in effect describing the cash model.
Thank you.
You took knowledge from your business partners' conversations, you turned it into a set of skills and behaviors for teachers and students to experiment with. The positive response to that has had an impact on attitude, and over an extended time, you end up with the change in habit. So it's so interesting to hear you describe that this doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't get a new habit, a new culture. I frequently laugh. A lot of people tell students to go home, get a different attitude, and come back tomorrow. that's not quite how it happens. And your whole strategy is a model of the cash model itself.
Well, we had someone who was very helpful explaining it when we first brought it in here, Monowski.
So Jim, I'm wondering, as a member of the community and getting the chance to see this over the time from its introduction to now being out and about the community, if there's a statement or two you'd like to give us here.
I'm real impressed that they have taken it throughout the school. It's not just a special day that they have when everybody dresses professionally or they focus on a specific attitude. I would love for them to give an example of how they might use cash in the parking lot.
Terrific.
It struck me. It was like cash in the parking lot. What do you guys?
Well, first of all, I want to say you asked, you know, what's one way to get this started? And just asking community members, but also asking the teachers was huge, getting their input on ways to get this across to students, to keep it age appropriate for the different levels, for the kindergartners and all the way up to the high schoolers, where they see how can we make this stand out. And it was a group of our high school teachers who saw we need cash in different places. And so I'll let Heather talk on to the cash in the parking lot.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things that when we were developing this and trying to figure out the different areas where students needed, that specific skill set of just in reality, it's professionalism, but it's also courtesy and manners. And so we were always just having a problem with students speeding in the parking lot or not allowing other people in or not knowing the speed limit or parking over the line. And so we developed a series of knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits that to the parking lot. And what we did is we actually branded that. And so we have signs up around the parking lot, but also on the back of students' hang tags that just says, for knowledge, know the speed limit. Know the rules of the parking lot. For attitude, be courteous and allow some, you know, if there's a line, allow someone to back in or allow someone in front of you. Habits, you know, make sure you're parking in your line, in your space. Try not to ding other people's doors. So it's just that courtesy and skill set and overall just professional mannerisms that we would like to see students display while in the parking lot. And people don't think of those areas. You know, sometimes we have a lot of those areas like the hallways and the parking lots and the stairwells that a lot of people don't focus on. So, but, you know, if we're going to make it and implement it as our culture, then we need to hit every single area of our school.
I love it because I think there are oftentimes I hear people say, well, they should have taught that in school. And I really think that these guys are teaching.
They're teaching it. Huh? Yeah.
And I'm big on Facebook, Steve. And there's something going on Facebook where people, I guess maybe it's a cash site or something, where people put the things that they have done in regard to cash on Facebook. So they're growing lessons and modeling lessons for other people on Facebook in terms of cash. And I think that's a really neat part of it as well.
That's terrific. Heather and Jennifer, are you comfortable if we put your email address into the blog so that listeners who would like to touch base with you for more specifics can do that?
Absolutely.
Of course. That'd be great.
Well, thanks to both of you for joining us here. And Jim, thanks for making the initial connection, and a special thanks for bringing the story back to us so that we could get it featured here.
Our pleasure.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.